want to do bad things.
That's real, yo. That dream at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 420. That's right, Jose, it is 420 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, and with me, as always, again, riding high on episode 420 of the Spurs Cast, it's Jose Grijalva. Jose, say hello, my friend.
You stole my line. I was about to say that. Merry Christmas. Merry day. We're 2 days after Christmas. Yeah. How does it feel talking about being? How does it feel talking about getting mentioning Christmas? A little guilty.
A little bit guilty and a little bit sad. I had an amazing Christmas. Got a lot of good stuff. A lot of good treats. I have a kiddo. I think I told you that. I have a young daughter. I spent on Christmas Eve, midnight to 3 a.m. trying to put together a toy kitchen for my daughter. It took 3 hours. It was incredibly frustrating. I drank a 12-pack of beer on Christmas Eve trying to put this thing together. We got up the next morning. I'm super tired. She runs downstairs, looks at the kitchen, or runs down the stairs. She walks down the stairs. She's 2 years old. How can she run? She comes down the stairs. She looks at the kitchen. She audibly goes, huh. And then she goes and takes my cell phone. She goes, "This is my phone." and that was Christmas for me. And that's all I needed, was my kid just saying, you know, 3 hours worth of your labor and your $200 worth of cost, I don't care. I just want to play on the phone.
I wish it was that simple. At least they want a phone. Remember back in our day, what would we do? Play with rocks, go outside, you know?
Oh, you got Christmas gifts? That's amazing. Oh. I thought you just got tamales.
Oh, well, yeah, I helped make the tamales so I could have something to unwrap. I got an Under Armour Batman shirt. So,
and an
Under Armour, the one with the big logo, the logo, but in an American flag because America, you know, apparently my family's caught on. So,
make it great again.
It was great. It was great.
So, I was just thinking about this. I know we did a little bit of pre-show, but I didn't think about it until just now. This is our second Christmas together, isn't it? Have you and I been doing this a year together yet? I feel like it's been close to a year that you and I have been business together. Because, again, the great Aaron Prime, his logo, his T-shirt is right next to the jersey of Tim Duncan in the AT&T Center. So it goes Bruce Bowen, Tim Duncan, Aaron Prime. He was the former host with you co-hosting, and then we transitioned to you and me. I feel about Christmas time last year. Could it be a year? Are we on our anniversary?
I think so. But if you're going to retire I want my gym shirt retired. Don't retire a jersey. I don't wear jerseys.
You know, a jersey that I've got that I'm super proud about is a Sean Kemp All-Star jersey from Phoenix. Not when he didn't play for Phoenix, but you remember when they did the All-Star game out there in like 96 or something like that. I got a Sean Kemp.
Eons ago.
Yeah.
No, 96 was the San Antonio, wasn't it? 96 is when Brent Berry won the dunk contest, I think.
96.
Isn't it?
I have no idea. You're the boss.
You just can't forget that. You just can't forget these things. Well, yeah, but it was eons ago.
Well, I don't know how we got on that subject. Let's talk about Christmas, man. How was Christmas?
It was horrible here in Douglas. Just windy. Just horrible. You know, I just didn't even feel like giving stuff out. But, you know, the good part is I kind of blacked out because I ate like four bowls of menudo. And I mean, I literally blacked out for 4 hours. I just slept, drooled on my pillow. It was just, I just didn't want to get up. It was great.
Christmas here was, it's always good when you have a really young kid, right? We had Christmas Eve. Family was kind of in town, out of town, back and forth to the valley. And when they came back up, we had a big Christmas day, which we usually do Christmas Eve. So this is new for me because a Caucasian Christmas is always Christmas morning. You get up, you have cinnamon rolls, you have some coffee, and you know, and then you open up your presents. I married a Mexican woman. It's big Christmas Eve. And I didn't know that. And so for several years, we've been doing a big Christmas Eve. And there's a big party. And at midnight, you open up gifts and all this stuff. And this year, we had kind of a dispersed Christmas where, you know, the Hispanic side of the family was not here. And so Christmas Eve was lonely. And I was putting together that kitchen kind of by myself. My father-in-law was here. My wife, of course, was here. My kiddo was asleep. But it wasn't this big party. So I felt a little lonely Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it's really big for Christmas Eve because the kids usually wait until 12 to open it. So, I mean, you get like five hours of kids whining if they could open their presents already. So, I mean, that's what a Hispanic Christmas is all about.
There you go. Well, it's not just basketball season, but it's big football season, college football season. You've been watching any of these bowl games? Do you care about that? I never talked to you about college football.
Absolutely not. I don't watch college. I watch it. I just don't put a lot of attention to it. I appreciate their play. I'm more of an NFL guy. I'm a Falcons fan. Clinched the playoffs this weekend. I think they can clinch a bye if they win. It's great times. You know, I feel a little sick of all the winning. Remember, you know, Trump, he said we're going to get sick of winning. I mean, I'm already getting sick of winning. The Spurs having a great record with new players. And then the Falcons, I just feel sorry for the rest of the people around me.
How are you a Falcons fan, by the way? That seems very distant for you.
Distant, you mean random, right? That I like the Spurs, I like the Yankees, and then I like the Falcons.
Right.
I liked Michael Vick before that whole dog drama happened. I was a big Michael Vick fan, and then I just stuck with them.
You're a Matt Schaub guy.
The first game, yeah, absolutely, because he played the Cowboys. I remember that first game. Was it Matt Schaub? That's when Vick got hurt. I forget who the QB went. Yeah, I went through the Matt Schaub era. And you know, everything and, you know, Matt Ryan. So I just didn't want to be like that random guy who just follows a player. I just think that's random. I know there's a lot of people that enjoy that. Like I had a friend who loved Carmelo Anthony in the Nuggets and then with the Knicks. And I was like, you know, are you just going to throw all your Nuggets stuff away? I'd just rather stick with the team.
No, I agree. NFL is more of a player centric and then like college is about the team, right? And so for bowl games, I've been distraught for the past 30 minutes, right about the time when you called me and said, hey, are we going to record? Because I played ball this morning, of course, dominated my series of one-on-one against my buddy Nate in Cedar Park, Texas. We had to drive to a different city to play basketball. And so I played against him this morning. Then we went to La Feria, which is a Mexican food place that opens up at 11 that was going to have – bowl games on, and it was University of North Texas, my Mean Green Screaming Eagles against Army, and North Texas came all the way back, tied it up, and then overtime screwed the pooch, lost to Army. So my one and only bowl game that I cared about this year, we lost. No bueno.
Yeah, what can I say? At least who beat them? The Army?
Army? Yeah.
Oh, Army. Well, I mean, at least you lost to the armed forces.
Well, but you say that, but then the whole game, all I'm looking at is Army getting all these calls that you just think about, okay, right, they're America's heroes. I got it. You don't have to give them random holding calls.
What can I say? America. That's all that matters, bro.
Well, I would expect nothing less. But we're not here to talk college football. We're here to talk NBA, Spurs specifically. But before we get to that, we've had an interesting time in 2016. I don't know if this is our last podcast of 2016, but you know, if you look back on the year, you know, celebrities, pop culture, just life in general, we've had a very strange year. And listeners of the show, hardcore listeners of the show, know how much the death of Prince impacted me personally. And then just 2 days ago on Christmas, on the 25th, we had another death in the world of music that also impacted me, not quite as significantly, but pretty seriously. George Michael died at 53 years of age. And what I'm hearing so far is that it, I don't know if it's a heroin overdose, but it's complications due to heroin use. So I'm hearing it's a heart attack, you know, due to years of heroin use. Just a sad state of affairs. Jose, I don't know if you're a George Michael fan, but this guy, amazing singer. I'm not sure if he's an amazing artist. I mean, whatever. But pop culture icon, and a guy who, for years, probably a decade at least, living a lie, sex symbol for women, just in general, homosexual man, and living a lie. You know, his sex symbol for women all across America. They were in love with him. And then, you know, has the courage to come out and state his, you know, kind of his beliefs and his preference. Very brave individual, very much in the public limelight, and so kind of a forerunner in that fact. Lived that for maybe 20 years or so, and then just died. So somebody who I really respected, I really liked his music. Been to several of his concerts. My dad actually almost got kicked out of a George Michael concert in Dallas one year, which is a funny story. But just an amazing guy. I respected a lot. I really liked his music. Not quite as big of a part of our household as Prince. I mean, not even close, but still a guy I respected so much. George Michael died, man, 2 days ago. Do you know about that? Do you know George Michael? Do you care?
Well, I know who he is. I've never really, you know, cared for his music. But I'm with you, you know, in your comment where you said that, you know, 2016, it's just been depressing, hasn't it? You just feel like this is the year that death just decided to take everybody that, you know, made a difference, you could say, because all the deaths hit hard. And, you know, you came up with a pod earlier this season with, you know, the celebrity deaths that, you know, impacted you. So I'm just, you know, I'm just still in shock that all this is happening. You know, I know that a lot of people die every day. But, you know, these big names that impacted society, pop culture, I mean, it's really taken a hit for this generation, or our generation, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right there. I mean, a lot of people die every day. And I guess the commentary could be, well, you know, so what? George Michael didn't impact my life. So why do I care if he died? But for people like me, I mean, you talk about somebody as talented as that, you deserve a little bit of a different level of respect. And George Michael was extremely talented. And, you know, when you talk about the best singers, just outright singers of all time, it's strange that you get pretty far down the list before people start talking about George Michael. But I feel like he should be way up the list. I thought he was just an amazing singer, had some great songs. To be honest with you, I don't know if he wrote his own music or not. Was definitely, you know, pop culture all-star there in the 80s, early 90s. But I don't think much longevity. But to the true fans, I mean, it's a sad day. And, you know, I just talked about University of North Texas being green. George Michael's boyfriend was a Sigma Chi at North Texas at the same time that I was at North Texas. So there's a little bit of a tie there. So and a tie to Texas as well. So George Michael's ex-boyfriend was a North Texas Mean Green student and a citizen. It still is a citizen of Texas, so a little bit of local tie. But he's not the only guy. Yesterday, you know, I got news that Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, took ill. She was on a flight from London to Los Angeles and had complicated. First off, this is the scariest thing that could happen to you, right? You're from LA. You're in London. You're flying to Los Angeles. You have a little bit of medical disorder. You start having heart, you know, I don't know what the symptoms are. I don't know how you feel this. I don't know what a heart attack or, you know, symptoms like that feel like. But she's on a plane from London to LA, and she starts having some challenges. And she ends up going into cardiac arrest on the plane. They land, emergency landing, take her off the plane. rush her to a hospital. She's non-responsive. She gets to the hospital. They're taking care of her. And then for a day, you don't really hear anything. And then this morning, which is Tuesday, Tuesday morning, you hear that Carrie Fisher died. Princess Leia has died. And she's had years of, you know, battling alcohol, battling drugs. She just came out of, you know, with a book about her life. She had a book that got turned into a movie, Postcards from the Edge, which is a Meryl Streep movie. That was actually a book by Carrie Fisher about her life, drug use and all of that. A pretty amazing story. And Carrie Fisher died. And you talk about pop culture icons. That's Princess Leia. And she's been in a bunch of other stuff. But that's Princess Leia. And you know, I know Star Wars Rogue One just come out. And there's going to be another Star Wars soon. And Princess Leia was just in the Star Wars of last year. Or I'm sorry, Carrie Fisher. See, I already did. You automatically associate Carrie Fisher with Princess Leia. Carrie Fisher was just in that movie last year. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Carrie Fisher just died. So that three-bedroom apartment in the sky is getting filled, man. George Michael, Carrie Fisher, all within a day of each other. What did Carrie Fisher, that death, did that do anything to you? I imagine that did more to you than George Michael.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were the biggest pops when I went to see Rogue One were, of course, Darth Vader coming out.
Spoilers.
Well, you knew he was going to come out. I'm just not going to tell you what he did. You know, he came out two times. That was, you know, a big pop in the theater. And then at the end, they had Princess Leia come out, which, yeah, I guess spoiler alert, whatever. But, I mean, you know what? If you haven't seen it by now, shame on you. You deserve to be spoiled. I mean, that was the second biggest pop there because, I mean, you know, she's such a – an awesome figure in the Star Wars, you know, series. I mean, it's sad. Right now, I'm just hoping that, you know, we just get through 2016 and we don't hear anything else negative. It's just a sad situation, especially when you hear that, you know, these artists and sometimes athletes battling through these addictions, you know, because of what they did, you know, all, you know, the bumps that they took, the hits, or, you know, just, you know, growing up a child star, you know, growing up in the limelight, the spotlight of Hollywood. I mean, it's sad situations, especially when they've overcome for so long and then something like this happens. So, just thinking of their families for the losses, for, you know, everyone that's been lost and what the families have endured.
You know, I was thinking about that three bedroom apartment because it usually ends up in threes, right? And so I imagine them as a three bedroom apartment in the sky. And I'm not the originator of that concept. There's a radio station in Dallas that started doing this. When people die, like celebrity deaths, they staff an apartment complex. Robin Thicke's dad, Alan Thicke, that guy just died too. Ruptured aorta playing hockey. So I think he's the third member. So inside of that apartment, it's Alan Thicke, Carrie Fisher, and George Michael.
Dr. Seaver.
Yeah, exactly.
Growing pains. I still bump that on the way to the gym.
Of course you do.
You know, I bumped the Growing Pains theme. You know, there's some Hulk Hogan Real American around there, depending on what I'm wearing. If I'm wearing patriotic stuff, it's Real American all the way. Scott Steiner's theme, all these different themes. So,
Scott Steiner's theme.
Absolutely, when I do arms, okay? Anyways, I mean, Alan Thicke also caught me by surprise, and especially the way he passed. You know, he was playing hockey with his son, and then he started having those pains. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, again, such a sad situation on how he passed.
Devastating. But, well, let's switch on to a lighter topic. So I'm sitting in La Feria that I was telling you about before, getting a little Mexican food, watching the start of the North Texas game, and then I get a beep on my cell phone. And the beep is the little auto alert when you have an email coming in. The email was a Travelzoo update that said I could upgrade seats to the Royal Rumble in San Antonio, Texas, inside of the Alamo Dome on January 29th. And I said, hold on, Royal Rumbles in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome? I had no idea. I immediately jumped on, grabbed two tickets. I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble this year. Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg versus 28 other people inside of the Royal Rumble in the Alamo Dome. How about that?
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about going, but I just did not have the cash to do it. And so it sort of surprised you all. I think it's random. The Alamo Dome. I mean, it's and it's a bit. I mean, they tried it once. You remember in a Royal Rumble? Was it 97? That's when Austin won, and Shawn Michaels fought Sid. I mean, they couldn't really sell that out with the hometown boy there. So I'm hoping they have better luck with all the old geezers out there. I don't know who's winning. It's sort of predictable. But now, you know, this year I don't really know who might win.
Well, dude, if you can get out there, I got your hotel and your drinks. So just get there, and you can get a seat. You know, when I went on StubHub, which is the only app I use, friend of the show, future sponsor, it was like $45 for a seat on the lower level.
And how many people? How many seats does it hold? It's way bigger than the AT&T Center, right?
It's huge. It's huge. I'm over by the ramp. I'm like on the I don't know if you're looking at it. If you're looking at it like it's a clock, I'm like at 7 o'clock, right at the ramp, and it's like $45, and they have like 4,000 tickets on StubHub.
Well, that's not bad. I went to the Royal Rumble actually when it was here in Arizona. I was right by where the ramp is. I forgot who threw a shirt. I think it was Brodus Clay. I'm not too sure. Or I forgot who it was. And I was right next to the guy that caught it. So I was kind of that close. But man, the pyro just smells horrible. So I pity really? You. Because it's going to smell like eggs the whole time.
Oh, I'm going to be so lit by then. It doesn't matter, man. The night before.
Do you know what lit means, sir?
I do. I'm it right now. It's the holidays, man. North Texas Bowl game. I've already turned it up. I have a little Yeti low ball Rambler that I got for Christmas that I've been taking full advantage of. If you can't tell from my always shaky voice, but it's even shakier right now because of the Wild Turkey and Dr. Pepper that's inside of my cup. Here, listen to this. That's an East Texas mating call. You ever heard that before?
No, sir. But, you know, it kind
of
sucks.
The ladies come out of the piney woods.
it kind of sucks that I won't be able to go because I mean, Vegas is my usually year-round thing nowadays, so.
Yeah. Well, we will work.
We'll meet one day. We will meet one day, and it will be glorious.
It'll be like two whales smashing in the ocean. You've been.
I hope by smashing you just mean let's move on.
You know, whatever you want. Let's talk basketball, man. Let's talk basketball. That's what we came here to do. We have two subjects for the day. Not much has been going on. Spurs have been continuously dominant, off to a great start, as we know. You know, they've been playing, I want to say, out of their head because neither you nor I, expected them to have this kind of chemistry this early in the year. It's been pretty phenomenal. And just amazing all the way around. Second best record in the NBA. Just doing a great job. Coming off a big Christmas Day win against the Bulls. And I want to say, as the uniforms are, there is not a better Christmas Day uniform that has ever existed than the San Antonio Spurs black and gray that we saw on Christmas Day. What do you think about those uniforms, man? Those were looking sweet. I want to order one of those immediately.
I absolutely hated them. I preferred last year just because they look kind of.
Of course,
they look like I don't know. Like if it was a food, last year's would have looked delicious. You know, I just think they need to be more creative with this. I think they're trying to be too. I don't know the word for it. Like it's not fancy. They're just trying to be too sophisticated. They're trying to. Oh, it's Christmas Day. Let's You know what they should do? Get jerseys. Have, you know, maybe have like a local contest and have the kids design like an ugly sweater type jersey. You know, like, I mean, they had those for the pregame warmups, right? Yeah. Like they had like an ugly sweater type thing.
That was stupid, just, though.
But make it into the jersey. Make it unique. You know, just don't. I mean, it's just like little fancy writing. Whatever. I just thought it was plain. If you're going to go plain, go last year's. Sure. At least it brought some. Like that creamish color, right? It was like grayish.
Yeah, this one's just straight black and gray. And I was thinking, man, these look like the Oakland Raiders, man. So bring my kid back into it. She was watching the game. She is actually legitimate a basketball fan. She loves basketball. There's a lady in my neighborhood. I don't know if I told you this. She used to be She was like the number one pick for Minnesota in the WNBA 10 years ago. And she lives in my neighborhood. And so my kiddo, is a big fan of her. She watches basketball legitimately, loves it. She was watching the game, and she kept looking at Greg Popovich, and she kept going, "Santa Claus? Santa Claus?" Because she just learned that word, and she looked at Pop with that weird beard, and she kept going, "Santa Claus." Were you you selling out on me for that, or what? Come on.
Oh, I mean, I just thought that was cute. I don't know if you'd consider Pop Santa Claus, especially during those little mid-game, what is it, after quarter, before the quarter interviews?
Yeah.
Just to take her away from the TV on that one, just in case. So it won't ruin the image of good old Saint Nick.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's not all Spurs today. We're going to talk All-Stars. All-Star voting has started. I don't know if you've already voted, but we're going to talk about who you should be voting for. And then we'll talk about the Spurs' past 10 games. Paul Garcia just had a great article on ProjectSpurs.com, and we'll talk our way through that. I'm going to start, though, with the All-Stars. Have you already voted for your All-Stars, by the way?
Technically, I have, because I retweeted a lot of stuff. So, I mean, that counts as a vote, so I guess I have.
It's weird how they've done that. The NBA has totally embraced, even though the NFL shows games on Twitter during the regular season, I feel like the NBA has embraced Twitter way more than the NFL has. So I actually went on NBA.com via my app and made my votes. So what I want to talk to you through, let me try that one more time, is talk through your votes for the West, two backcourt players, three frontcourt players, and then we'll go to the East, three frontcourt players, two backcourt players. And your reasoning for voting for them. So if you want, I can go ahead and start. With the West, from a backcourt perspective, for me, it was a no-brainer. It's Russell Westbrook, 32 points a game, might be the best player in the NBA right now. He's 100% the most explosive player in the NBA. More triple-doubles than the rest of the NBA combined. Averaging 32 points a game. He's just amazing. So the point guard from Oklahoma City, I have Russell Westbrook as not just one of the players in the All-Star game, but runaway, for me, favorite for the MVP. Also, oddly playing the same position in the front court is James Harden. James Harden from the Houston Rockets is averaging 27 points a game. But the guy is right behind Russell Westbrook in terms of triple-doubles, has adapted to the game of Mike D'Antoni phenomenally. He's an unbelievable point guard. We knew he's an unbelievable scorer, but he's a terrific passer. He's a great rebounder. I think James Harden is just amazing in his newfound position of point guard for the Houston Rockets. So, Jose, from your vast experience and years of following the West, who are your All-Star favorites in the backcourt in the West this year for the All-Star game?
Who were your two?
I literally just said that. I mean, I'm talking within the past 30 seconds I said that. You weren't listening at all. I said Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Absolutely not, because I went to the page so I could vote, you know, like so I could pick off the players because I wasn't really ready.
Just left my mouth.
I agree with you. And the only thing that kind of makes me feel bad is you kind of have to leave Steph Curry out of the discussion. But he's had to take a step back to Durant. So I think that automatically disqualifies him, especially what the other two are doing. They're basically the main and I think really the only options. If you take them out of the lineup, both of those teams are just so horrible or below average that, you know, that we wouldn't even be talking about them sniffing at contention or at even a playoff spot. So I agree with you. It'd be Harden and Westbrook, both MVP candidates.
I totally agree. So not just for the All-Star game, but MVP candidates. And so far this year, I know we might talk MVP here in a minute, but Both of those guys are leading the way, and the only guy that I see falling up is probably LeBron. To that, I thought Kawhi was going to be right up there with MVP, but I see it as Westbrook, Harden, LeBron sort of, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I feel like those guys are leading the pack by a long shot. So in the West, let's talk front court. For me, and not just because I'm a homer, but I've got Kawhi Leonard. He does amazing things defensively, things that never show up in the stat sheet. I know that's your big thing. But on the stat sheet, the guy's offensively averaging 24 points a game. Defensively, we know he's an amazing talent. I have him winning so far, if you get out the All-Star game as a true midseason, I have him winning the Defensive Player of the Year for a third year in a row. He's certainly leading the pack for me. So far this year, yeah, he's also averaging 24 points a game. I have him as an all-star in the West. How could you not have Boogie Cousins in the all-star game as a starter? 29.1 points a game. Boogie Cousins with all that attitude. He's had a 55-point game so far this year. He's on a team of total losers, and he's still doing great stuff. And I don't think he's with the Sacramento Kings for very long, but right now, amazing. He's certainly an all-star in the front court. And the last guy I have is a dude that I saw in person when I was in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago doing some scouting with the New Orleans Pelicans. 29.6 points a game, 2.1 blocks a game. And sneaky good. I don't know if that's hard to say, but the couple of times that I've seen Anthony Davis play, he's just sort of snuck in there and been wonderful. Again, he's averaging almost 30 points a game. Anthony Davis rounds out my Western Conference All-Star starters with 29.6 points per game. How about you for the front court?
I think I'd say the same thing. Kawhi Leonard, he's really the guy who the Spurs depend on. He's basically the point guard. If he's not bringing the ball up, they're just giving him the ball. So, I mean, he's really the first option and also the first option on the defensive end. Boogie Cousins, I would agree, but at the same time, what really makes an all-star? And I know I'm going to get into like this type of psychology type of discussion. He's been playing well on the court. I think he deserves it with his play on the court. But his attitude, especially how he, treated that reporter, do you really think he deserves it? Because I think it's two-sided. I think it's the personality, the character, and also the play. So I think his play does not outweigh that attitude. So I'm going to say Anthony Davis instead of him. And the third one, it's a little bit hard to make this pick. I'm going to say just Kevin Durant, even though I don't think he deserves it. Because, I mean, he already went to a stacked team and he's playing well. So I'll say Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard.
I say boo because it's I don't want to root for Kevin Durant. You can't make a wrong pick when you look at Golden State and what Kevin Durant's done. He's assimilated into that team phenomenally. He's obviously a great player. It's tough. It's tough to pick a guy like Kevin Durant going where he went for the reasons why he went there versus Boogie Cousin who stuck there. He doesn't want to be there. He hates being there. And he's a winner. A tough call in the West.
He's a winner. Boogie Cousins is a winner. Is that what you just said?
He's winning my vote every day by his play on the court. What do you mean?
Oh, nice save because I was going to ask you what has he won.
he's won my heart. How about that?
I know we're going to disagree on the East at least.
Yeah, I think so. The East is a little bit more controversial because for me, we'll go front court and then go to back court. I look at the front court and LeBron James. I mean, you feel like an idiot for saying LeBron James because you want to be a contrarian and pick anybody but LeBron James because everybody else is going to pick him. But you can't. LeBron James is the best player on the planet. I had a conversation.
What? Are you serious?
Oh, my God.
Better than Kawhi Leonard. Oh, okay. I see how it is.
Yeah. LeBron James is the best player on the planet. Are you serious right now? Like, you're gonna tell me Kawhi is better than LeBron? You're a total homer, man. Oh, my God.
You're a troll, sir. You're just a troll.
Oh, my God. Are you serious right now? You know what? You're on my Christmas list. LeBron is amazing. LeBron's amazing. And he's, for my money, and you have your time here in a second, but best player on the planet. I had a conversation with my buddy here. You know, he might be the best player ever. And I don't think that's a huge stretch. He's bigger than anybody else. I think I don't know if he could take Jordan off the dribble, but he can shoot. He can dunk. He can defend. He's huge. He could beat up Michael Jordan, who I previously thought was the best player ever. I think LeBron might go down as the best all-around player in the NBA of all time. So there's no way that I can't keep him off of my Eastern Conference list here for the All-Star game. In the front court, sharing it with him, I got the Greek Freak. Wow. Which, I know he's playing point guard, but I got to have him as a front court player. It just doesn't fit any other way. Honorable mention there, I've got Melo, 23 points a game, 3 assists a game. The 3 assists doesn't sound like a lot, but for Melo, that's a big deal. In the backcourt, DeMar DeRozan's got 27 points a game. And then I'm looking there at Kyrie Irving, who I think is having a great season for him. I know we skipped around a little bit, but from a frontcourt perspective, the last guy I've got is Jimmy Butler. How about for you? What are you thinking for the Eastern Conference? And tell me why LeBron James is the worst player to ever play in the NBA.
Well, I don't think he's the worst player right now. I think he's the second best player. I think for all the reasons that you mentioned why he's better than, I'm guessing, Jordan, that's Kawhi. Kawhi is a better shooter now than he was before. He's the best defender in the league. He's a great rebounder. What did you describe him? Bigger than everybody else? He's, 6'7"? With freakishly long arms. He can take you off the dribble because his arms are so long, he'll just like dribble a few steps in front of you and finish at the rim strong. He can play multiple positions like LeBron. I just think at right now, obviously I would take LeBron in his prime, but right now I'll take Kawhi Leonard. And one of the reasons why I would take Kawhi is because the last time they met in the playoffs, somebody got the better of somebody else, and that was the Spurs winning the 2014 championship. That they beat them so bad, he had to go back home. So that's Kawhi, bro. I thought we were going to disagree. We basically agreed on every pick. So
it's because we're so in sync, or we're an amazing commentating crew.
But I think they should have put Giannis as a point guard. If he's playing point guard, screw the size. I know that's why they put him as a basically a forward, yeah, or a front court player. Just put him at the point guard spot. Then that starting unit would have absolutely destroyed him. If then you started Melo and then Giannis at the point guard position, I guess you would have to bump down Kyrie. So I mean, that'd be a huge team. No way that the West could have contended.
You know, what a weird thing that they did. I mean, seriously, he's played point guard all year. The NBA has made a big deal about Giannis playing point guard, right? Yet he's listed as a front court player. It's strange, and it's only because of his size.
Well, I mean, what do they classify Magic Johnson as? They never talk about his height. The fact that he could play all 5 positions and did play all 5 positions at one point, during a game, they won't argue that. But I mean, I just feel bad for Giannis because really, that's taking credit away from him. The fact that he's that tall, that athletic, and he's playing the one position, I just think they're taking some credit away from him by doing this.
I agree. And, I'm going to move away from the topic a little bit. But, again, when I was kicking my friend's ass this morning, shooting threes like J.J. Redick style, just killing him from distance this morning, my buddy Nate brought up this this concept or this discussion about ESPN. They do this show where it's like they list off the top 5 dunkers of all time, top 5 passes of all time. Have you seen any of those?
No, I try to stay away from that. Well, from the mainstream media.
From the lamestream media. You're so Republican, man. You're so Republican. They do this top 5 passes, and this Joe Dumars pass to Rodman was incredible. I get all that. great passes. You brought Magic Johnson. He was not in that, which is strange to me because, you know, that one where he's like puts the ball in a dish and then like serves it like a waiter. It's amazing. He was not on that list. The thing that got me from it was actually the top five dunkers, and I can't recite them to you, but like Zach LaVine was in there, which I thought was interesting. You know, modern day player. LeBron was on there. The guy, and Dominique was on. Maybe I can't. Dominique was on there. Kobe was on there. Jordan, I'm sure, it was the other guy, right? So there's your top five. The guy that left off that list was somebody I brought up earlier in the show. How is Sean Kemp not on that list?
Well, Zach LaVine was on the list, you said, right?
LaVine was on the list. But Sean Kemp, if he would kill you. He would dunk on you and then kill you in the parking lot. He was so vicious.
He would dunk the soul out of you, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's amazing. And he was not on the list of top dunkers. It just seemed very strange to me. We need to do an own pod about top five, bottom five in these categories.
I mean, you watched it, you said, right? Or your friend brought it up?
I also watched it, but he brought it up this morning.
Oh, what about the passers? Was Manu on there?
Manu was not on there. It was a bunch of old guys, and then, you know.
Oh, what exactly is Manu? I mean, the guy has to shave his head, but we still love him. I wish he would let his hair grow like before. Even if there's a mean old bald spot there, I mean, just like give us the feels again.
Like he looks like what's Hulk Hogan's real name? Terry something?
Terry Bollea.
Terry
he's
Bollea.
Not Terry Bollea, though.
Even if he looks like Terry Bollea, an Argentinian Terry Bollea.
I tried to grow my hair like that once, but I have so much hair on my head. Like it literally looks like I look one of those like those wishing trolls. You remember those? Like if I let my hair grow.
Yeah.
So I mean, after 2 weeks, and that's the same thing with my beard. I shaved 2 days ago, and I already have it coming out like all crazy. So. I tried to copy Manu once. I wish you would just grow it out. Give us the field one more time before you go.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, so we got your all-star team. Clearly, I picked the better team, which I think we actually picked the same team, didn't we?
I had better logic for picking my team.
You had better logic, but I think I had the better team.
Oh, no, we didn't, because I didn't pick Boogie.
Yeah, huge mistake. Huge mistake. Well, we'll see what happens, but the Spurs, I mean, I'm telling you what, Paul Garcia, he's doing this thing on ProjectSpurs.com, which I'm totally into, because I watched every game, right, and I wrote a book about it, Project 82, you can get it on Amazon, shameless plug.
But you've been waiting for that ever since the Monroe plug, huh?
I know. So I wrote a book about it. I watched every game for an entire season in the playoffs. I watched the preseason. It was a ridiculous amount of games watched. And I didn't think about doing games in chunks like this. Paul Garcia on ProjectSpurs.com has been doing like 10-game recaps, right? So the first 10 games, the second 10 games, the third 10 games. So, you know, Spurs have 30 games under their belt so far, and he's done a review. So the latest 10-game review, and then kind of positions that against the previous two iterations of that series. I think it's an amazing way to look at the season, right? Because what do you hear all the time from NBA coaches? Jose, they play them in little sections, right? The season's too long to not kind of carve it up. Nobody says, oh, we're going to play an 82-game chunk. They say, we're going to play the next three games. We're going to play the next 10 games and see where we're at, right?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks for all your support. In the last 10 games, the Spurs won 8-2. And on Paul's last review, he really breaks that down really well. You know, the Spurs have been stepping it up from the first 10 games, second 10 games, and the third offensively. You know, they were 107 points per game, which ranked sixth in the NBA during the first 10 games of the year. And the last 10 that they just got off, they jumped it up a whole other point, which doesn't sound like a lot, but they're 108.9 points a game, which is actually pretty phenomenal because that's a true difference maker for the rest of the year. Their three-point percentage had jumped about 3 points per game. And they're number one in the NBA. You know, think about their season so far, Jose, and let me know in their last 10 games, sort of the streak that they've been on, how you viewed that 10-game series versus the previous 20 games.
I actually have breaking news. Do you want the breaking news now?
Oh, I want. Is it about Kerry Fisher?
No, it's about the Spurs.
Let's hear it.
They waived Nico.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Well, by the time everybody's hearing about it, they're going to be like, oh, but these losers were talking about it yesterday and we recorded it instead of going live. Anyways, we can talk about that later. You know,
No, but that was your guy. That was your guy that you were saying on the last podcast.
No. How dare you? I am a DeJounte Murray fan.
Oh, my God.
I was a Baines fan.
Check and episode I was a Boban 419. Fan. 419. Play it back.
No, I'd rather not. I don't live in the past, bro. Okay. What was the – I forgot who they were playing. Hubie Brown was a commentator – was on the headset there calling the action. I forget who they were playing. But Hubie said something along the lines of San Antonio barely had their first full practice as a team. And after that game, they've looked crisper. I think that's really it. The fact that they haven't had a full practice. They looked sort of lost. They were playing off their own individual skills and trying to, you know, help each other out. Powell has looked tremendously improved on the defensive end. David Lee is now the vocal leader. You know, if you notice when he gets on the floor, he's telling guys in a Tim Duncan way, this guy's over there. Amazing. Watch out for this guy. I mean, and it's really amazing. He's a veteran, so he has a voice, but it's his first year with the team. Not a lot of guys want to say, oh, I'm going to have this type of voice with this, you know, established team and established environment.
Well, it's kind of I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, my impression of David Lee is he's kind of a loser, right?
Here we go. Well, at least I say they're nice guys before I diss them.
Well, no. But, I mean, for me, dude, the next game I go to in San Antonio, I'm wearing a David Lee sweatshirt. I'm going to have a David Lee mask, David Lee hat, anything I can. What was the show with Eddie Murphy where he had a mushroom shirt and a mushroom belt, mushroom jacket? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Boomerang. So I'm going to, boomerang for David Lee. He's my favorite Spur right now. I told you he's in the last podcast. I think he's playing way above his gourd. I think he's doing fantastic. A great player. And like you were talking about, was talking on defense. Was doing things that are you didn't expect from David Lee. You know, the things that David West was supposed to be doing. But you look at David Lee and it's like, man, he was – okay, so he was great in New York. Got a lot of pub in New York. Went to Golden State. Was just sort of like, nah, he was there. I didn't know what to think of when he came to San Antonio, but my observations so far have been totally consistent with the things that you've been saying. David Lee he's like a vocal leader. It's strange. I mean, he has taken over a leadership role on San Antonio's squad.
Yeah, and I think it really goes with the dedication to the team concept that the veterans have there. You know, like Ginobili and Patty Mills, they allow him to do that. You know, I don't think with any other team, he would have probably been comfortable. You know, I don't think really with Golden State, you know, Draymond Green would be comfortable with somebody yelling to him, hey, go guard that guy. You know, he'd probably kick him in the nuts and tell him I know what I'm doing. I mean, I think it's really the team atmosphere that allows him to be like that. But the fact that he is like that from the get-go is very impressive. So I think it was from that game on. I forget what game. Feel free to let me know because it's going to bug me when Hubie was commentating. But when he said that, it made sense. And at the same time, it was more – it just made their record more impressive, the fact that they haven't had a full practice and they were as good as they were before that. So I credit really the fact that now they're coming together. They know each other's talents. What I want you to keep an eye out on is Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard and really the guards that are playing that perimeter defense. You know, now they're comfortable with the help. Before, they would be giving up the shots because it's sort of like they were saying, well, I'm not sure if Powell's going to be there or LaMarcus or Deadman or David Lee. Now they play those guys so far up now to kill the shot that they have that confidence that somebody's going to be there to help them. So I think the first full practice made all the difference in the world.
So the Spurs have been doing great the past 10 games. Like I said, 8-2. What are you looking at for their next 10 games? Do you feel like they can match this momentum? I mean, they're number two in the NBA, second best record overall. Do you think they can keep this momentum up? It just seems astonishing to me that they've adapted or adopted this kind of chemistry so early in the year. You and I both thought that they would not have this level of chemistry, camaraderie, whatever you want to call it, so early in the year, replacing a guy like Tim Duncan. And for me, defensively, I think there's still a gap, like we talked about in the last podcast. Do you think, but all that being said, do you think they can continue this kind of momentum for the next 10 games?
Absolutely. I think they're just going to get better. I think their defense is going to get better. Offensively, they're there. And I think that's really, if you notice, Danny Green has picked it up since then also. So I think he sort of had in the back of his mind sort of questioning his defense, you know, how to play it. And that really plays a part in his offense. Now, I mean, he's a quick trigger shot. Pudgett, I think that, as Paul Garcia says, you know, the pull-up jumper in transition, he's more confident now, especially with his defense being a lot better. So I think they're just going to improve. They're a little bit, they're just chipping away at that one seed. There's a chance there, bro. They never say never.
There really is, right? I mean, it's closer than you think for them to be a one seed.
And what happens with that one seed? I mean, now you're talking about playing Boogie Cousins and the Sacramento Kings in the first round. I mean, that's why he shouldn't be in the All-Star game. That'd be a sweep. Three-game sweep.
Well, I mean, the rest of the team – are you talking about Boogie? I mean, the rest of the team sucks, but, I mean, Boogie Cousins is unbelievable.
He's okay.
Oh, you wouldn't take Boogie Cousins over Pau Gasol right now? You wouldn't right now, have Boogie Cousins no. on your team?
Boogie Cousins and LaMarcus Aldridge, absolutely not.
Oh, my God, you're insane. You're insane.
Where's the defense, bro?
You know, I quit.
Wait, do you remember what he said about Isaiah Thomas, that he would just dribble too much and wouldn't pass it? I would not want that guy on my team. Give me Pau Gasol any day. 40 years old over a 20-year-old DeMarcus.
It's all explained because it is the 420th show, so 420. So I understand your claims and where they're coming from today.
I'm just loyal. That's all that is.
Gotcha. Okay, so we got your All-Star picks. We did a checkpoint with the Spurs. Anything else to talk about today?
Well, Nico, why don't you say something about him? I mean, the guy took a hit to the face. I thought he would have been a Spur for life after that.
It's pretty astonishing to get cut like that. I mean, some D-League time. I mean, I guess I don't know what to think. I mean, is it because DeJounte Murray's got too much? I don't know. I mean, is the commitment to DeJounte Murray is clear, but Nico's gone? Seems strange to say bye, you know, wave, see you.
Especially when they basically begged him to sign. If you remember, I mean, after the Olympics, I mean, all you heard was San Antonio was interested, you know, get him out there. And, you know, I really think they're looking at how Murray is playing, and you sort of see – he's quick, you know, he's a quick dribbler. How fast he dribbles the ball, or quick he dribbles the ball, is just insane. You know, he's lightning quick because, you know, nothing's really holding him back. I'm a turtle compared to him because I have all this fat and all this more muscle holding me back. I mean, that kid just 19 years old, he could get to from the rim in a blink of an eye from one end to the other on the court. I just really think it's more about that versatility that Murray brings, because I think he can play the two guard. I really do. Even if at that lanky type of body that he has, I think, you know, just perimeter wise, he could be a pest out there. I think they just fell in love with how he plays. They see a Jamal Crawford type player because Crawford really mentored him. They try to, you know, make him into the player that he is. So I just think the Spurs practically fell in love with him. And, you know, now there's an open roster spot. Do they keep it open now? It gives this team more flexibility. You know, maybe there's rumors that Tim Duncan will come back. And if there isn't, maybe I just started one. But who knows?
No, those have been going on, but he's not coming back. I think you leave it open. Because why? I mean, why would you fill it? Like, for what point? I'm a little bit disappointed that he's gone. He's waived. I guess I really had no attachment to him. Other than I saw him play in Austin a bunch of times. And I really liked his game, but he wasn't really impactful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have rather had Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, playing here, like in Austin, like he did last year. he wasn't dominant. He kind of was passive. I don't know. I mean, it just seemed strange because, like you said, the Spurs really wanted him to sign. really wanted him to be here. And I guess they saw something that he just didn't work out. I don't know. It's strange. I'm not in their head. I don't know anything about what's going on with Popovich's head.
And at the same time, we don't know. Maybe he asked to be released. He's not getting playing time. Maybe he didn't feel comfortable in Austin. At the same time, I'm sure he's a nice guy. I have not met him. But, you know, maybe I think you would cut, if it was your decision, you'd really cut a Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, thank God. Forbes, I would have cut. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Or a Brent Forbes. Because Forbes is really, you know, he's that Gary Neal type player. You know, he's too small to be a two, but he can't play the one really. So I think you would have released both of those guys if it was really a decision that they, you know, just trying to open up a spot. I really think, I mean, he's established in Argentina, isn't he? I mean, he's not a big name like Manu, but he's a big name.
Because remember, he didn't want to come here because of his already professional career. So I get why he would bail. And let me tell you about Forbes right there. I met that guy after a game.
Nice guy.
Dude is grateful for where he's been. And let me tell you something else. Dead-eye dude. Like, he is cocky. He knows where he's going. I would want to be around that guy. Yeah, he's kind of an in-betweener, like you said. But so is Isaiah Thomas. The real Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not, you know, I don't want to overly compare these two together. But
well, all three of them would be falling under the same category.
Yeah,
though,
it's kind of because Isaiah Thomas. Yeah, but I'm not saying that he's got the same skills, but the guy, he's mean when he's got to be mean. He's a scorer and he's got to score. Dude, I've seen him hit game-winning shots. I mean, he's a dude. And so I'd rather have a dude on my roster than a passive guy. And it seemed like Nico was a little bit passive, you know?
So if you're passive, you're not a dude.
Right, yeah, right.
You just,
if you're passive,
you took away
you're not
his masculinity.
A dude. No, I'm saying you're not a dude. Like that, like a dude.
Well, no wonder you like Boogie, right? Because when he's in the paint, you give him the ball. He's sort of like Shaq, right? He's going to do something with it. Like, dude, you know, I guess so.
Yeah,
I guess
I get you. Oh, man. Well,
DeJounte Murray, have you seen him drive? Dude, I said that one. I said that during the last game.
Yeah, like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah, so
nice guy. Very nice guy.
Oh, man. Well, we hit it all, man. We hit Kerry Fisher, George Michael, All-Star Game, Spurs. We got it all. So that is it for this episode of the Spurs Cast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. You can find me at RyanMC_PS. Follow any of the Project Spurs folks at Project Spurs. Jose, thanks a lot, man. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year if I don't hear from you again. Before then, and you listeners, you are welcome.